Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, Every Nation. You're in for a real treat today. I have my new best friends in the world, Raj and Anamika. And we just have this little segment we like to do that we just called Wonderfully One, But Uniquely Different. And we like to just highlight the fact that in our nation, it can be so polarized and stuff right now, but that we are one in Christ. And that we read about that in heaven, one day, every nation, tribe, and tongue is going to be around the throne worshiping. And so we're just, we want to be ahead of the curve and do it right here on earth. And but as well, we're all uniquely different. We have different backgrounds and cultures, and it's really something that we need to celebrate and learn from one another. So this is what we want to do here during the segment. And so Raj and Anamika, while I would love to go into the story how we met and God brought you to our church, maybe we could do this is, Raj, we could begin with you. Like, man, what's your story? How did you come to know Jesus, that thing that unites us, that we're one in Christ?
Okay, so I will try to condense it. It is a long story. I grew up in a Christian family, and the neighborhood was 99% Muslim and maybe 1% every other religion combined. So I grew up in that kind of neighborhood. And but one thing we knew from childhood, that we are followers of Christ. And when I was growing up, about 8 or 9, and I was, this question was in my mind, why are we Christians? So one of my dad's cousins came one day and asked him, okay, why are we Christians? So he gave me one liner. He said, we are Christians because we follow Christ. And what Christ did is he died for us, for our sins, and then God raised him from the dead. And then that's why we follow him. It is not about religion. And, there used to be some pictures in my house and the Bible sitting on an altar. And he says, pictures don't mean anything. Scriptures you can read, but your goal for life is following Christ. So that's what I took to my heart. I even remember, to this day. And reached out to many of my school friends, college friends, and then my relatives, and then my neighbors or my family friends. And many of them have accepted Christ because this Christ was never preached before to them. And that's why I quote Romans 15:20 all the time, again and again, because our ministry, our job is, I heard somewhere, she showed me on Facebook many, many years ago, that we are fishers of men, not keepers of aquarium. So that's the ministry that every believer has, whether it is a 6-year-old child or a 95-year-old person, it doesn't matter. So that's our church, and it's great. It's a great place to, be with the like-minded believers, and that's what the fellowships do. So, that's pretty much my testimony.
Raj, that's so funny, man, just to see too how God had you on all this journey, and all the while he's just building into you, because I see ministry all over your life, man. So, and it's just beginning. So, Anamika, like, how about you? I know, what's your story? How did you come to know Jesus?
Sure, PA. So I'll just give a little background of my grandparents. My grandma, she belongs to north of India, and my grandfather was from south India. And they both come from Hindu backgrounds. Their grandparents were Hindus, and so they had accepted Lord Jesus Christ. And then my grandparents, they in fact started a church from their home in New Delhi, India. So growing up, my grandma, she had a great influence on us. We were also traditional church-going Christians. But she used to always share Bible stories with us, and she was always inviting people as we were growing up, ministers of God, to come and share scriptures with us. So there used to be this one gentleman who used to come every single week you know, on different days. And we used to be so excited and wait for him. And so we had a great heart for God. We used to love God. But things opened up for us when we got connected with this other gentleman who had his ministry in India and through whom we got born again. So that was how when I was in college, and you know, God gave us the opportunity. He came one day to our home and he started sharing the truths which we had never heard before, like the Holy Spirit. Oh, God is available, it's there, and we can get born again, we can speak in tongues, that all these things, manifestations of healing, and all these are available. We never thought that that can happen. And we this gentleman was like so confident, and he would say that you all are, you know, God has a wonderful plan for you. And being so young at that time and listening to all these truths, it just changed our lives. And we practically saw in our home, you know, God took us to a wonderful journey, getting to be born again and then being able to speak in tongues and pray in tongues, just going to God. We started seeing a definite manifestation of God's power in our lives. So our heart, now coming to Every Nation Church, also we know God has a wonderful plan for us. We are so thankful to him for connecting us to you, Pastor Dottie, and the whole church. It, you know, your heart for God resonates with us, with ours, because we feel we are like-minded. Our heart is for outreach. We want to see, as in India, we say, you know, every believer says, one believer is equal to a million. So Amen. We are asking for that one person to God to send to us and connect us with, that will just open up the doors and we will see great outreach in this year. We know we are going to see great things of God. So yeah, that's
Amen. All. Amen. You two are Aquila and Priscilla in 2021. That's for sure.
Well, that's such an honor. So, wow.
That's it. That's it, you guys. Well, so I so appreciate your story, and it's just beginning to be written. Like, this is amazing. We both see the hands of God all over you coming to our church. And then, so Rajan and Namika, is there then, so what's the, could you help us, like, so what makes you guys uniquely distinct? I mean, you have this Indian heritage, and maybe is there some things you could just impart to us? Like, what do you celebrate about your culture, or maybe miss about it, or you know, what could you just, or maybe there's something you want us to know about your culture. So Raj, do you have anything you'd like to share?
Yes. See, the most of the languages that are spoken in India, you know, there is one language which connects with, and that is Hindi language. And there are so many ethnicities, you know, in India. There are maybe 8,600 ethnic groups in the world today. Out of the 4,000 and change are from India, you know.
Wow.
So those are the nations, you know. That ethnic group is called nation, you know, just like, you know, Every Nation Church. So this is the culture that we come from. But everyone, you know, learns about other person's culture and celebrate with them. You know, and doesn't matter you're South Indian, you're, you know, North Indian, or you're from East, or you're from West, you know, once they get to know each other, there are no boundaries. Most of my friends were Hindus. They never saw me as a Christian, you know, belonging to a Western culture or anything like that. You know, that's the thing that they have. Okay, Christianity is Western religion, so it has got nothing to do with our culture. But, you know, God gave me the opportunity now. Okay, this is not it. You know, I can go to their house, you know, and then I can sit and talk with them on one-on-one basis. So all these guys, you know, now they're understanding, okay, this is the reality. And this one true God is mentioned in their books. You know, it is mentioned in their books. And once you show them, okay, this is the God that we worship, which is written in your books also, you know, whether it be Hindus, whether it be Sikhs, or whether it be whoever, you know, this one true God who is, you know, has no shape or form, you know, who's a spirit, who's Atma. Atma is the word for spirit. So this is who we worship. We don't worship the creation, you know, we worship the creator. So that's the culture. You can talk one-on-one and then people will receive it without any judgment, without any prejudice, without any bias, you know. So, you know, that's the culture. Nobody gets offended. I mean, there are some people who get offended, but you know, most of them, they don't get offended if you present a different opinion.
So. Wow. Yeah, a little bit different here right now. So we're believing to change that.
Yeah.
Anamika, how about you? And by the way, I'm still going to hold you. You're going to disciple me in curry. So, but tell me, what's maybe there's something, some cultural nuance that we don't know about India that would bless us.
One thing that has always fascinated me, PA, has been it's like God has a great sense of humor. You know, I don't know what he was thinking when he created India and Indians, because you go up north in India, people are light skinned. You go down south, they are dark skinned. You go towards the east, they are like Orientals. So there's all kinds of skin colors back in India. There's different, and as I mentioned earlier, every different region has different language, food, art, religion. So it is so diversified, and yet people are united. They are, you know, they respect each other's language, culture, food. They are actually celebrated. We used to just love having South Indian cuisine, or, you know, try different foods and stuff. So it actually reminds me of how, you know, it's mentioned in the scriptures that we are members of one body. We are different members. That's what unifies us, but we belong to the same body. It's like being the hand, eye, nose, and feet, you know, of the body of Christ. So even though we have different skin colors, and we came to US, the United States, and we used to miss our food and stuff, but thank God now everything is available in the stores. So God has made it available, and we can just, you know, make all that. So we look forward to share that, because at the end of the day, our blood, the color of our blood is the same that God has Amen. Given each one of us. And it's the same spirit that now all of us have. And where the spirit of Christ is, there's freedom. So we should rejoice and celebrate that. And we look forward to, you know, sharing what we bring from India in terms of culture and cuisine and food. And that's what we want to just share with our brothers and sisters in Christ and everybody else, and take this hope and the message of love to all who are hurting right now and who are in despair, to take this message of love and hope and excitement when we share Christ with them. It's just going to change everything, and their outlook will change.
So. Wow. You guys, what a beautiful word. And listen, we are a better church because you guys are here with us. And so blessed, so honored to walk with you guys. And so I couldn't have said it any better. And so I just want to thank you. Honored to be with you, and look forward to all God's going to do through your life in 2021.
Amen.
Love you guys.
Love you too, PA. Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless.
See you on Sunday.
Welcome to Every Nation New Jersey. My name is Shino. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. I am based in our sister church in New York, but I still have the honor and privilege of serving this great team led by our own Pastor Adam. So surprise, it's me today. You know, if you have a Bible, you can turn to Mark 12. We'll start in verse 30. We're going to continue in our sermon series that Pastor Adam's kicked off. And the overarching theme is to love God, love people, and to live on mission. So let's pray, make yourself comfortable, and let's get ready to dive in the Word of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you, God, in these brief moments that you'd open our hearts, open our minds to your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. So once again, if you have a Bible, you can turn to Mark 12, and we'll be starting in verse 30. And Pastor Adams kicked this sermon series off on love. Now, love's been a word that's just kind of thrown around. It doesn't carry a lot of weight, if you will. And so you hear people say, I love pizza. I love hamburgers. I love this car, or I love that house. But the love we're talking about right now is a love that is completely sold out to the one and only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Almighty God. And so we're going to look at this scripture verse, because where it all starts, where it all begins, is with the love of God. Everything ebbs and flows out of that. And so it says here in verse 30, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. You know, it's important to hear a word that has been echoed multiple times, and the key word is all. So you have to be all in with the Lord. You can't be halfway in, halfway out. If you're going to love him with everything you got, your every fiber, every being of yourself. You have to love him that way. And so if you go to Deuteronomy 7, verses 9 through 10, this is another verse that God is speaking. And this is a command verse. It says this, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is faithful, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. One thing you got to understand, when you love God, it's not about just you, but it also transfers to others as well. So when we love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, what it does is it passes some things down, maybe to our wife, to our children, into the other areas of our life. It permeates throughout. It says here in Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him. Now, I want you to highlight that, love him. This is one of the most misquoted scripture verses in the Bible. See, and for order for all things to work together for good, we have to love God. So that means as I'm loving God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my fiber, with all my being, everything I have, when bad things happen in my life, God is right there to turn it for good, to turn it for good. So I can get hit with anything. I can get hit with this pandemic. I can get hit with the social injustice stuff. I can get hit with the financial nonsense. I can get hit with the political stuff. But you know what? I'm still going to stand, because in the midst of it, God's going to turn it for good. Something good will come out of it because what? I love God. And so you have to realize loving God is a big deal. Yes, it's the first commandment, but everything ebbs and flows out of that. And so to love God is to enjoy God's sustained favor. See, it's not just a one-time deal. When I wake up, I have to wake up with an attitude of gratitude, that attitude of thanksgiving, that attitude of, Lord, I worship you. I praise you with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my fiber and all my being. And once again, I get to enjoy something, sustained favor. The favor of the Lord. Say this if you're at home, favor isn't fair. So when I'm loving God, I get the benefits of God. And one of the benefits of loving God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, is that I get to participate in his Abrahamic covenant promises. See, when you love God and you're doing what he's called you to do and be, now you have a right to call back the promises of God to him. Lord, you said this, you would do this. If this happens, if that happens, now I can call back the promises of God because he's first and foremost in my life. Let's start with the heart. With the heart. Why the heart? Because with the heart, one believes. With the heart, one believes. And it's very important that we understand that whoever has your heart has you. Whoever has your heart has you. So what's important if you have this heart, which we all do, whatever has it, what's important to do with it? Number one is this, in Joshua 23, verse 11, it says, so take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. Take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. Why do you have to be diligent? Because it's not a one-time deal. It's not, oh, I'm going to wake up today and love the Lord, but tomorrow I'm not. No, every day I have to be making progress. I have to encounter God. I want to spend time with God in the morning or in the afternoon or in the evening, fellowshipping with him, spending time with him. And you know, as I do something over and over and over and it becomes habitual, next thing I know, I get to understand who that person is. I get to know him for who they are and not what they can do for me. And that makes that heart begin to swell up with joy, to swell up with love, to swell up with passion, to swell up with the things of God that you and I want to give back to him. I have to love the Lord your God, but I have to be diligent. You know, being diligent, it is hard, because The enemy loves, and there's an enemy out there. We call him Satan. We call him the adversary. You know, he's always trying to get us away from spending time with the one we love, God. So he'll come in and put all kind of craziness in our lives. You know, the busyness of life, you know, stress, you know, all these complications to try to derail us from being diligent and spending time and having that divine encounter. He'll throw this, that, and the other, but we have to be able to fight through it mentally, physically, emotionally. No matter what, I'm going to give my heart over to the Lord. And not only that, I'm going to give it over to him, but also I got to protect it. I have to protect it. And there's a significant reason why I have to protect my heart, because everything ebbs and flows out of your heart. Emotions, even life. Even life, it says this in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So you have to guard your heart. You have to guard it. You can't let anybody or anything take its place other than God. You know, God has to be at the center of our heart. He has to be at the forefront of our heart. He has to be the everything that our heart is surrounded in, or around, is God. Why? Because it determines the course of your life. That's why you have to guard it. Because from here, it goes to here. And from here, it can come out of here. And you know, we can curse ourselves. We can speak death and not life over our situation. We can get mad at our wife. We can get mad at our husband. We get mad at our children. We can get mad at our job. We can get mad at situations, and here it comes, boom. All of a sudden we're speaking things. And you know, the Bible says that we can call things as though they were when they're not. So your heart issue needs to be resolved. And be careful what comes out of here, because it's gonna set the course of your life. Your life. You have to allow God to lead, guide, and protect us. But it all starts with love. You have to guard your heart. You got to fight for it. You know, the heart is important. Emotions come out of there. Things come out of there. The heart. And I have to allow Christ, God, to be right there in the center of it at all times. Protecting it, guarding it. You know, I have to be careful what I'm watching and on TV. I have to be careful what I'm listening to. On the radio, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You have to be careful. Once again, like I said, the eyes are the windows of our soul, because man, all this stuff gets in here and it begins to affect the heart. It affects the heart. And so now I have to turn up the word of God. Now I have to begin to meditate and read on and study things, because I want to be visual. I want to make sure whatever's coming in and going in, it doesn't affect this here. So you have to guard your heart and realize it sets the course of your life. Allow God to be at the center of your heart, of your heart. The second thing he talks about is your soul. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, but also with all your soul. Now, where does this begin? If you remember in Genesis 2:7, it says, in the beginning, God created a man. And he said this, then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils and the breath of life. And the man became a living being. When he breathed into him, he breathed life. You know, and that's where the soul is. All of a sudden, now we become a living being. We're not lucky mud. We're not some biological bird. No, we are a living me, a being made in the image of Christ. And so when we say love the Lord your God with all your soul, we're talking about love God with your passions, with your hungers, with your perceptions, with your thoughts. Love him with everything you got, everything, everything from the depth of who you are, your being. You love him with that. It says this in 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. What is he saying? Do it with every fiber, every being. Do it with passion. Do it with zeal. Do it at the depth of your soul. Because right there, when you do that, when you love God that way, it brings joy. It brings life. And not only do you get life, but you can give life. Nobody wants to be around somebody that is always a Debbie Downer or have that old Eeyore spirit, if you will, just always grumbling and complaining. No, I want to be around somebody that's full of joy. And where is this joy going to come from? Yes, it comes from the inner being, the soul of the man or the woman. It exuberates out of it and it goes into everything else that we do. When we do this, it shows our entire being is to display, it displays something, the love of God. When that's coming out of my soul, man, it does something. It's contagious. People want to be around it. Have you been around people during this pandemic and they got a full of joy? They have life on them. They're not running around timid or fearful or scared. And I'm not saying that we don't obey, you know, the social distances or we don't wash our hands or wear masks, but I am saying that we do have to live. We do have to live our life. And the way I want to live it, and you should want to live it, is to the fullest, life and life more abundantly. But it starts with loving God with our soul, where it begins to permeate and pour into other areas of our life. You know, when it talks about passion, you can always tell what you're passionate about. Because whatever gets you up in the morning, whatever causes you to wait, say, I want to take on the day, you know, that right there becomes your passion. You know, when I played football, I remember playing peewee all the way up into the pro level. Man, I could not wait to put the pads on, the helmet on, the mouthpiece. I couldn't wait to put the cleats and the pads. Man, I was so into it, man. It was crazy. I mean, I had posters on the wall, man. I was so passionate about the game. I loved the game so much. I loved the smell of the fresh cut grass of the field. Passionate. I mean, I'm playing video games. It's morning, noon, and night football. Why? Because I love the game. And see, when you love something, man, you're passionate about it. Can we, as a people of God, be passionate about our Heavenly Father, God Almighty, passionate about the things that He's passionate about, the things that He loves, the things that He cares about? Can we be passionate about that? Our thoughts. You know, I have to be able to, because of what's coming out of me, I have to be able to think right. Because when I love God, I think the way He thinks. You know, He loves people. And so, yeah, there's craziness going on in the world. But you know what? I still got to love Him because He loves Him and He loves me. So I have to be an example of Him. Once again, we're talking about loving God from our soul, which from that displays something. And we have to be on display to show people that we can disagree and still love each other. That we can, you know what, not sit on the same aisle in politics, but still love each other. And see, love is that thing that brings us closer, that shows us that we are truly the disciples and followers of Jesus Christ. If you love God. My third point is loving the Lord with all your might. What does that mean? Loving God with all your power, everything you got. You say this, love God with everything I have. What does that mean? Anything that's at my disposal, anything that I have that God has given me, I want to demonstrate the love of God through it. So what does that mean? I love my wife. Why? Because God commands me to. He doesn't say, oh, well, you know, just because you woke up on the wrong side of the bed today, you can treat her wrong. No, you love your wife as Christ loves the church. That means He gave Himself up for her. So men, if you ain't loving God, it's going to be hard for you to love your wife because there's going to be friction. There's going to be tension. There's going to be moments of disagreement. And you know what? Sometimes men, we got to fall on the sword and say, you know what, I have to give myself up just like Christ gave Himself up for the church. I love her. He loves His bride, and so I love mine. So that same thing with our children. You know, it's crazy right now. Some of our kids aren't in school. They're at home, and so you're trying to work at home. You're trying to take care of your children, and it can get tense in the house. Things can happen, but you know what, I have to love my children the way that God loves me. I have to demonstrate this. Once again, we're talking about loving through and two, the situation that it displays the honor of God. And so when it gets crazy, you know, there's you're in this room or you're in the house and everybody's looking for space and you can't really go anywhere. You know, we got to sometimes, you know what, just say this, man, you know what, I need to compromise. You know, I want to lay down my life, if you will, and make it better for others in the home. So for the sake of peace, for the sake of peace. And so we're talking about loving God with all our might. What we're saying is loving God with anything that we can, that we have, that's at our disposal, man. Anything that we can give to. You know what? How about our resources? How about our resources? And I know we don't like to talk about money, but you know what? It's God's money. It came from God. And loving God with all our might means also loving God through our resources, being generous. You know, it's no greater time right now to be generous. And once again, we're talking about biblical commands. We're not talking about what Every Nation New Jersey is saying or what Pastor Adam is saying, even what I'm saying. We're saying what God says. And there's something about taking our resources and using that as a display of loving God, sowing back into the community, sowing back into the things of God to see the kingdom of heaven advance here on earth. You know, it says this. It says the Bible calls us to wholeheartedly live a life of encompassing and community impacting and exclusive commitment to our God, to our God. You know, it's really important that we understand this wholeheartedly. It's not half-heartedly, it's wholeheartedly. And so it's, I was thinking about this because some of these scriptures are Old Covenant, Old Testament, and New Testament scriptures. And so some people be like, you know, God, that's the old God. You know, God said to love him with all his heart. That's the old. The Bible says this in John 10:30. It says, I and the Father are one. They're one. So you can't love the Father without loving the Son. And you can't love the Son without loving the Father. They're one. And don't forget to throw in the Holy Spirit in there because he's just as much as God as God the Father as well. So you got to love all three. You got to love Jesus. You got to love him. And the way that we love him is by what? We have to obey his commands. John 14:5. If you love me, keep my commands. Now, I've learned this over the years that a command is to protect, not to threat. God's not up there threatening us. Oh, if you do this, you're going to get that. If you do this, oh, this is coming down on you. No, what he's doing is he's saying, if you obey me, my commands, and you do it my way, and you love me with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, every fiber being everything of you, then you know what? You're going to be able to get some things. That means protection. That means provision. That means things that you are not able to do on your own. I'm going to do it because I'm a supernatural God, and I take my super and I bring it into your natural, and I bring it together to become supernatural. That means there's times in your life that there's no way I can be protected. Yes, you and I have to go to the store. Yes, we have to get gas. Yes, we have to go to different places to see people and do things. And you know, sometimes we think, oh, well, yeah, I can't go, you know, but there's a protection. There's a promise that God has over our lives. He says that no plague or disaster will come near your dwelling, Psalms 91. Why is that important? Because that is a promise. That is a promise from God. That's something that he's saying, man, when you love me, you get what I have. When you do what I say, you get what I have commands. If you love me, if you love me, those commandments are there to protect. They're not there to threat. They're not there to hurt us. No, they're to protect us. 1 Peter 3:15. Once again, we're talking about loving God with all. And one thing I learned early on serving Jesus is that I have to love him with all. What does that mean? That I have to do something. I have to make him Lord of all. That means now, because I love him so much, he has the right to step in and do whatever he wants to do in my life. As a man of God, as a father, as a husband, as a minister of his word, he now has the right to do whatever he wants to do. My finances, he has a right to do whatever he wants to do because now he is Lord of all. And when you live that way, it's freedom. When you obey his commandments, it's freedom, because now we get to experience something that we couldn't experience ourselves. Now we get to experience that protection. Now we get to experience provision. Now we get to, not only that, but we get to pass this thing down to our next generation. So some of you men and women out there that are fathers, don't quit. Don't give up. Keep loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Why? Because the blessing transfers, you know, not only to you, but to your wife, to your children, and to your children's children. Stay true to God and he'll stay true to you. He's always faithful. He's never faithless. 1 Peter 3:15, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life, Lord of all. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain. Always be ready to explain to people why you love Jesus, why you love God. Always be able to explain. You know, sometimes when you begin to go back and remember what God has done in your life, and you begin to share your story, it begins to give other people hope. It gives other people life. So that's important for you never to be ashamed of loving God. And never be ashamed about telling people about what your God has done. You know, God has done some magnificent things in your life. He's done some magnificent things in my life. And you know, I have to tell people about it. I have to explain, you know what, I used to be broke, but now I'm blessed. I'm provided for. You know, I used to went through a bad situation, went through a separation, a divorce. And you know what? God blessed me, restored me, and gave me a beautiful wife. You know what? My children and all this stuff is happening, but I'm watching God restore things. You know, God is a miracle working God, and it all goes back to love. Why do you love God so much? Because he's done some things that I couldn't do. He's taken care of me. He's protected me. And so when we love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, you know, it does some things. It does some things. It sustains that generational favor. It ain't just about the right now, but it's also for those who are coming. It's transferable to our children and our children's children. If you don't have children, then man, you got spiritual people, children out there that God is going to use you because you love him to impact that next generation. Trust me, when we love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strengths, there's benefits behind it. He sustains us. He blesses us with his favor, and he allows us to pass it on down to the next generation. And so, thank you for joining us today. I hope this word ministered to you. I hope that you'll analyze, you'll go back and take inventory and ask yourself, do I really love the Lord with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength? Am I giving him just a little bit? Or am I all in with God, with this love? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for today. I thank you for this moment. Lord, as people are wrestling with being all in with you, God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would show them, Holy Spirit, that you're a gentleman. Father, that you would show them that you're not a deadbeat dad, that you take care of your children. That you show them, God, that you're for them and not against them. Even if the bad things have happened, because they love you, you're going to turn it for good. Highlight all the good that has been done in 2020 and here at the beginning stages of 2021, so that they may know that their God loves them deeply. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us today. This sermon series, Love God, Love People, Live on Mission. But also, one of the things that we have to remember is to give. You know, there's something supernatural about giving. It doesn't make sense. Sometimes sowing into something or something I may not know or may not understand, but I know this, that when I do give, the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, when I sow, when I give, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Everything else is added. I do this once again because I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Everything I got comes from him. So if he says 10%, 10% is 10%. And you know what? I've seen miracle after miracle after miracle in my life because I made a decision that I'm going to love the Lord my God with everything I got. That includes my resources. And so I just want to give you an opportunity. You can visit our website and give online at encnj.org and hit the giving icon. Or you can text in your offering. I love doing this. This is the quickest way to get it out of my hand because you know like I know. Come on, let's be real. When you get ready to tithe, you always be like, man, that may be like a large chunk or it could be a little. But in your mind, you're thinking, man, I could do something with this. But if I just hit the button, man, it's gone. There's no more playing around with it. It's gone. And so you can just go, you can go to text ENCNJ to the number 77977. You can text once again ENCNJ to the number 77977. Or you can give it the old-fashioned way. Some of us like checks. So you can send your check, write your check out to Every Nation New Jersey. And you can send it to 101 Gibraltar Drive here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. 101 Gibraltar Drive, Every Nation New Jersey. And make sure to make that check out to Every Nation New Jersey. And in the memo, just put tithe. You have a blessed day, and may God's face shine upon you and every nation, New Jersey. Let 2021 be your best year.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, encnj.org.